his wife, David, and I'm Chico, and we're a recovering couple from Portland, Oregon. And a little about us. Next month, we will have been together for 13 years, and almost 12 of those have been in RCA. And I credit the fact that we are together for almost 13 years because we've been in RCA for 12 years. It would not have happened without it. But, you know, in RCA, we have the three C's, the cornerstones of RCA: caring, commitment, and communication. And at least from my perspective, caring and commitment have always been easy. I've always cared about my partner. I still care about my partner. I learned to stop being a runner and made a commitment in RCA that I'm committed to be with Kapiko forever. And there's no running anymore because that's the old way, sir. But communication is the tough one. And when we were asked to speak today, there was a reference to imposter syndrome, and I thought, you know, why are we being asked to talk about communication? Because we don't do it that well, and at least from my perspective. A lot of times we do it well, but not always. And I got over it because, yeah, our communication isn't perfect, but what we learned in RCA listening to other couples is there aren't very many people who have perfect communication most of the time. And I haven't heard of anyone who has it all of the time. And so, we're not going to talk about, or I'm not going to talk about, I'm happy, joyous, and free in the communication department, but I've learned a lot along the way and hope to share some things that might be helpful for someone else here. And so, from the beginning, it was a setup for me with my family of origin. I had a narcissistic father, and in my entire life, I don't recall him ever sharing any emotion with me other than anger. I never had a truly intimate conversation with him. It was just never modeled for me to be intimate or to reveal what I'm thinking or feeling deep inside. And my mother, who also was a narcissist, was the flip side. She shared too much. And it was like a dump of emotions on me from a very early age, and I had to be the one to modulate her emotions. And so I didn't really have good models for how to communicate successfully. My parents fought my cats and dogs till they divorced when I was four, thank God. And so as I grew up, I was inscrutable. I remember someone saying, you're really inscrutable. I don't know what you're thinking. And I wasn't even trying. That was just who I had become. And in various attempts at relationships, I really didn't communicate very much. And one thing I learned from my parents, if I was open with them about something, it would be used against me. And so I became very guarded. And with that background, I came into a relationship with my loving partner today, Kapiko. And, it was sort of a meeting by chance, but it wasn't by chance. And we met, there was an immediate interest, and Kapiko asked me if I could remember his phone number, and I did, and I sent him a text with my number. And our next communication was 3 days later. I got a text from Kapiko, and he was asking about an event I was going to that evening that we met. And so we were able to communicate by texting. And we met, we had another date, things developed. And then I learned something about texting. It's not a good way to communicate. If I have a dry sense of humor, texting isn't going to cut it. And so I learned that texting doesn't really reflect what's going on. And so if I have something serious to say, I don't put it in a text. The other thing I learned early on is being careful with what we do on the telephone. I remember one night I was coming home from work. I was driving, and I was on the phone with my partner. I was in an area with bad cell reception, and it was getting really frustrating, and it just went haywire. And again, I learned if we have something important to say, do it in person. That has served us well. So some other things that came along. So eventually we got to RCA, and I learned that there are a lot of people who have communication problems, and I didn't feel so alone. And we started to learn tools. We started to get skills for more effective communication. And so one of the things we do, we start every day with prayer, and we have a whole list of prayers that we go through every day, and we've been really good about that. A lot of the communication things, sometimes we're good at it, and sometimes it goes by the wayside. But that one we've stuck with. And early on, we finally got the courage to ask for sponsors, and our sponsors lovingly agreed to take us on. And one of the first things that was put to us was, write down three things that you don't want to talk about. And so I made a list, Eco made a list, and then we came together with our lists, and lo and behold, power, sex, and money were on our lists. And so we went back to our sponsors and told them what we came up with, and the response was, all right, start talking about them. And the last 12 years have been trying to talk about those topics among others. We learned to use a meeting of two really early on, and that was very helpful because we start with a serenity prayer. We follow the safety guidelines. We set a time, and we have a requirement that we listen. One person talks and the other listens. And when I'm listening, I don't get to case build. I don't get to think about what I'm going to say. I just listen. And my partner does the same. And that was a huge improvement because we'd have free flowing conversations with everybody talking, each of us talking over the other. And it wasn't productive. And so meetings of two were really helpful. We haven't done them as much, to my taste, that we probably should do more, and it might be a help for us. We've also had meetings of four with other couples, and it creates a safe container, both the meeting of two and the meeting of four, that we can feel that it's safe for us to be more vulnerable. We learned things about where to talk and where not to talk and when to talk and when not to talk. Definitely not in the car. Driving a vehicle weighing over a ton at 65 miles an hour is not a good time to be talking about a hot button issue. So we just don't do it. We don't talk about tough subjects after 9 at night or when we're getting ready to sleep. The bedroom is sacred. We don't have tough discussions in the bedroom. We'll have them somewhere else. If I'm in hold, or I suspect that my partner is in hold, it's not a good time talk. If I'm not feeling present emotionally, or I can sense that my partner just isn't there for me right now, put it off. I don't have to force the issue. It doesn't have to be decided or discussed right away. Let's see, what else? If I'm feeling upset, or my partner's upset, stop, moratorium. We can come back to it. And one that was really important early on, it still is for us to have a meaningful conversation, for it to be productive, we have to have two adults in the room. And if my inner kid or teenager is activated, it's not going to work, and vice versa. And we've learned to just stop when that happens. And it's also important that we're physically present in the same place when we're talking. We've learned that talking from one end of the house to the other isn't a good way to do it. If the kitchen sink and the water is running and I can't hear, that's probably not a good time. We need to be really present for each other. Another thing I learned is that tone is as important, if not more important, than substance. I can say two things in a different tone, and they mean completely different things. And so I have to be very conscious of my tone. Am I being minimizing? Am I being condescending? Am I being curt? Am I, not talking in a good tone? or my body language? Am I rolling my eyes? Am I, there's a whole list. But one thing we did early on in our seven-step work was to create a communication agreement. And I'd like to read that because I haven't looked at it in a long time, and it really was nice to see it again. So we will make an effort to talk about the things that we don't want to talk about. One, being heard. Two, say what we mean. Mean what we say. Don't be mean when saying it. Three, mindful, active listening. No crosstalk, not formulating a defense, being fully present, non-judgmental, respectful, compassionate. Four, when in doubt, seek clarification. Five, both adults need to be present for effective communication. Note if at any time the child is prominent or dominates, may he find the willingness to turn it over to the adult before continuing any discussion. If not, both partners agree to a moratorium. Six, both partners are in agreement to stay with the topic of discussion and by all means not bolt from difficult emotions that may be triggered. However, there is an option to pause or stop for safety purpose. Seven, to open and close all significant discussions with a serenity prayer. Eight, each partner agrees to make an effort to call it out if he observes that he is dissociating when his partner is speaking. Nine, guidelines for more effective communication using I statements, taking responsibility for our partner's inventory, affirming rather than shaming, accepting rather than judging, honing, honoring, and expressing our true feelings, pausing when agitated, acknowledging the feelings of our partner, allowing our partner to speak without interruption, being mindful that we are equal partners in our coupleship, and taking the risk to communicate about uncomfortable subjects, for example, sex. So we learned from our sponsors a couple of important tools. One is the reset, that if things go south, we go back to the last point where we weren't going south, and sometimes that works really well. Another thing that I try to be conscious of is following the golden rule. I would not want my partner, if I wouldn't want my partner to speak or act in a certain way with me, I don't do that with my partner, and I feel I'm pretty good at adhering to that. It's important to me. Another thing we learned from a book that we read early on was avoiding kitchen sinking. So if we have a topic to talk about, it's just that one topic. I don't throw in everything in the kitchen sink, and that has been helpful, and we're pretty good about that. We don't depart from that very often. An important thing for me is accepting that we speak different languages. We are two people separated by a common language. And we understand the world differently, we perceive the world differently, we hear differently, we speak differently. And we've been together long enough that I can intuit often what my partner is trying to say, but not always. And so I have to ask for clarification. And then vice versa, because it can really get very strange when we're talking about the same thing and we're not. And let's see what else. I'll wrap up here. There's a lot more I could say, but I don't want to step on my partner's time. We've really come a long way together in RCA. We've learned a lot. We've met incredible people. We've learned from them. They've been really supportive for us. And we make real efforts to communicate better and not to let breakdowns of communication affect us. But it does still happen. And I'm resigned to the fact that it's always going to happen. And if I try to come up with some fantasy idea of what communication should be like, I'm going to be disappointed every time, because that's not the reality. And the reality is, it's tough. And so as long as I'm in acceptance, that acceptance is the answer to all my problems. And so thank you for letting me share, and I turn it over to you.
Thank you, David. Hi, everyone. I am Katigo in recovery with David. Grateful to be here with all of you. Grateful to be here with my partner. We're grateful To be in the space and to just open ourselves to grace and for the opportunity to identify as a recovering couple. One thing I appreciate about my partner, how diligent you are, and how thorough you are, and how perennial you can be, and how you just laid the groundwork for this, sharing our experience, strength, and health, and the one thing I can do better, and this is sort of a constant, is understanding and patience. So with that, so I'll get into my part of the gig here. I wrote down on something I saw in a coffee house here, and it was on one of those pull-down blinders, and it was a note that says, "Please don't touch me. I'm broken." And that says a lot about what I come into this coupleship with, right? I'll read it again because I can't read it enough. Please don't touch me. I'm broken. And I won't get into the nitty-gritties of that, but let me continue with the what Spirit has moved me to share with all of you, and thank you, David and Agnes. We too have all those. You should see our daily reflection books from all the programs. That's like pick one or two. Let's read out of it, right? And you know, this is a program of attraction. And you know, my tagline is. You know, I'm grateful to be here with all of you, grateful to be here with all of me. What I don't know, what I can't see, more will be revealed. And I'm so grateful that I have a partner, right? I have a partner that I can work with, and he can work with me, and that, you know, like all of these issues surrounding communication can be healed, you know, and so what I did was just these are all takeaways, and I'm just going to kind of blurt it out for you and reflect on them, if you will, because a lot of it centers on communication, aside from the commitment and caring. And you know, before RCA, if there was an RCA teacher, right, she goes, "Welcome to class, all you RCAers," right? If there was an RCA teacher, and I was graded in all of the three C's, it would be unsatisfactory. But because of RCA and working the steps together as a couple, healing together as a couple, And the tools that we're given right here, it's amazing that I can honestly say that it's no longer unsatisfactory, it's satisfactory. Mm-hmm. So I'm grateful for that. So let me start here. So the theme for my pitch is together we can make it. And together we can make it. And you know, so the reflection is how to be a part of the coupleship. With what I come into this coupleship, what my partner came into this coupleship, and then, you know, dumping all that unmet needs or stuff out, and it's like, this is the work in RCA. All right? And so how to be a part of a coupleship or a group, and so I or we never have to feel isolated and alone. Mm-hmm. So, and I just said, so these are things that spoke to me about communication, and so I practice loving kindness and mindfulness, and so maybe this might be a time of loving kindness and mindfulness. So hear me. The many ways we can open ourselves to active listening. That many can accomplish together what one alone cannot. Tradition one spells out the basic purpose of unity, to accomplish the greatest good for the greatest number. Understanding alcoholism, addictions, and family origin dysfunction is helpful. Understanding and accepting alcoholism, addiction as a disease helps me to helps me separate the disease from the person, thus allowing me to have compassion for the alcoholic addict while setting loving boundaries. Setting limits requires some degree of communication skills because others cannot read my mind, nor I theirs. Others need to know how I feel, and I need lovingly communicate my feelings. Likewise, it is important that I listen to and respect their feelings. Affirmations. Just for today, I will release any need to judge or criticize others and begin to see them in the same way I might want them to see me. Gentle reminders, old habits are hard to break. I cannot hurt others without hurting myself. Standard of conduct, and so these are boundaries I set for my own benefits and for other benefits. And so when I get confused about what being powerless over alcohol addiction means, the three C's, not to be confused with RCA three C's, gives me a clarifying touchstone. I didn't cause it, I can't control it, and I can't cure it. So I didn't cause it, release me, and I put boundaries of self, of any guilt I may feel. Their suffering from the disease has nothing to do with me. I can't control it. It gives me permission to live my own life and take care of myself. That choice is completely out of my hands. I can't cure it. It reminds me that I don't have to repeat my insane behaviors. I don't have to search for the magic cure. There is a one. Tools that transform communication barriers into bridges, and my partner has shared quite a few of them. One of them that helps me is pause when doubtful or agitated. This is a compelling reason for taking thought before I release words that might set off an angry interchange. Reflective questions. Have I considered the impulse to say something unkind comes from my own guilt and unease, which erupts and blows against others? Question. And so there's a few other things. Oh, look, I got some. Oh, I'm doing good with fun. Communication breakdown. You know, it's like, thank God for the 12 steps, right? We need a foundation to get to the causes and conditions. And that's in the fourth step. Respect, self-respect and respect for others. Social interaction is essential. It is my responsibility to stick with people, and I love this. And this is about it. It's my responsibility to stick with people who are affirming and trustworthy and to limit my exposure to those who are not. And I'm glad to be here with you because you're that person. So this is the really big one. When I'm uncommunicative or dishonest in my interactions, I set myself apart and feel rejected. Conversely, open, truthful communication nurtures feelings of trust and encourages me to participate fully in life. I came in here not trusting this guy. And he couldn't understand why I couldn't trust him. I was still like, in recovery, we don't adapt anymore. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't adapt anymore. You know? But and thanks to RCA, we came to an understanding together. Why? Got to the why. And then I wrote down, this is us.
And so what's the takeaway is that we thought we were respecting each other by swallowing our thoughts and feelings about potential hot topics. As my partner shared, you know, those three hot topics, and we still have challenges, especially around sex. Today's reminder, really evaluate. If only I can learn to quiet my mind before I speak. I do not want to act with impatience and hostility, for I know it will react on me. It is a mistake to think this requires self-control. Patience can be acquired by learning to let go of self-will, and self-will is not. And this quote, oh gosh, it just drove it home. Whoever is out of patience is out of possession of his soul. Men must not turn into bees who kill themselves in stinging others. Isn't that something? So by being more open and honest, I can be a part of all that is around me. Participation is key to harmony. Understanding, sharing my feelings openly and honestly may involve painful truths. And thank you, RCA, that we have the platform, we have the space to do so. Nonetheless, it is much less harmful than being dishonest and withdrawn. When I respect others enough to allow them to deal with the facts of a situation according to their own needs, I am allowing them to participate in life's experiences too. And I'm almost at the end. If I persist and remain apart, I accept my own harmony. I also deny the fellowship, a gift that I can offer only by participating. Mm-hmm. And then last but not least, I'm a lover of acronyms. So the ism and at the end of alcoholism is I separate myself. So. I think that's pretty much it. So perfect timing. And so with all that I read, we're going to close with our coupleship prayer. And just FYI, this is sort of a mixed bag of big book the prayers, the modified version of the ACA Serenity Prayer. The 11 step prayer, and okay, so ready?
Yep.
God, Lord, understanding, grant us patience, tolerance, kindness, and love. Guide us to a place of compassion and understanding. Help me to accept the partner I cannot change, the courage to change the one I can, and the wisdom to know that one is me. We ask you, God, to direct our thinking, especially asking for the part of it separated from rebellion, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Where there is discord, let us bring harmony to the goo
that's God of our understanding
that binds us. We say wholeheartedly, thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.